Gospel of John, chapter 12. And our text for this evening is the verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, that is the Lord Jesus. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. We know that there are two Lazaruses mentioned in Scripture. One lay at the gate of a rich man's house, and the other lived in a house in Bethany with his two sisters, Mary and Martha. It is the Lazarus of Bethany that we want to consider this evening. And all that we are told about him and all that we know about him is contained in these two chapters of John, chapter 11 and 12. Notice how chapter 11 begins. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. We find then that chapter 11 begins with Lazarus on his sick bed. When we look at chapter 12, we find Lazarus mentioned again. But the scene has certainly changed, and the circumstances have changed. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Chapter 11, we have Lazarus and his sickness. Chapter 12, we have Lazarus at his supper. Now when we look at Lazarus, we consider his name and the meaning of that name. As we have pointed out many times, a person's name and the meaning of it can tell us so much about the individual who bears that name. Lazarus means helpless or without help. And when we are first introduced to this man, we find him as a helpless man because he is sick. Now when we are led aside by some severe or mysterious sickness, it is then that we are brought to realize just how helpless we are. The man who was sick of the palsy was so helpless that he needed 4 men to carry him on his bed to the house where the Lord Jesus was ministering. Peter's mother-in-law was aware of her helplessness as she lay sick of a fever. And dear hearer tonight, when sickness comes upon us and puts us on our back, there's nothing that we can do for ourselves. In that sense, we're all Lazaruses. We're helpless. Now when we meet Lazarus, we find that not only is he a helpless man because of the sickness, in many ways Lazarus is a hidden man. I say hidden because he and the life that he lived was very much overshadowed by the lives of his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Indeed, if it were not for his sickness, we might never have known Lazarus at all. Whereas we are told much more about his sisters. And they seem to be the ones who were better known in the town of Bethany. Look there at chapter 11 and verse 1 again. Chapter 11 of John, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. You notice it doesn't say the town of Lazarus, but it's the town of Mary and Martha, which would indicate to us that Mary and Martha were better known in the town of Bethany than Lazarus was. Lazarus was very much a hidden man. The lives of his two sisters overshadowed the life of Lazarus. He may have been hidden from the eyes of the townsfolk. He may have been hidden from the eyes of the world, but he was most certainly not hidden from the eyes of the Lord Jesus. For we read in verse 3 of chapter 11, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. There may have been many in the town of Bethany who knew very little about Lazarus. May have been not very many in the town of Bethany who ever loved Lazarus. But certainly the Lord Jesus loved him. The eye of Christ was most certainly upon this man, Lazarus. And in many ways he was hidden, yes. He was hidden in the love of Christ. So we have noted then about Lazarus, he was a helpless man. He was a hidden man. And I believe from what we read about him in chapters 11 and 12, Lazarus was very much a humble man. His sisters were better known in the town than he. And indeed, when the three are mentioned together, we find that Lazarus' name comes last. Chapter 11, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Lazarus is mentioned last. He seems to have been a man of few words. For there is not one word recorded of anything that Lazarus said. He's very much a silent man. Now you think of Lazarus in contrast to his sister Martha. Martha always had a lot to say. You recall how Martha was the one who criticized her sister because her sister Mary had left her to serve alone, and that was Martha's criticism. She had a lot to say about her sister, and it was a word of criticism. And yet, with regard to Lazarus, never read a one word of criticism coming across the lips of this man. We know that Mary and Martha both complained. They both complained that the Lord delayed his coming. When they sent word to him that their brother was sick. Both of them chided with the Lord. For we read there that they complained why that the Lord had delayed his coming. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Verse 32 of chapter 11. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. It was a complaint. In other words, Lord, if only thou had come sooner. And yet again we look at Lazarus. There's no word of complaint ever recorded coming from him. No word of criticism. In many ways, Lazarus was a humble man. It was Mary and Martha who came to the fore in this family. Lazarus is very much in the background. Now there are some other things we want to consider this evening with regard to this man Lazarus. How often have we considered the life of Lazarus? We think more of Martha and Mary. We spend more time looking at Mary and Martha. It simply emphasizes the fact that Lazarus was very much in the background, overshadowed by his sisters. So let us bring, as it were, Lazarus to the fore and consider this man. We consider, first of all, Lazarus and his great trouble. Chapter 11 begins with the words, Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany. Trouble often comes to the home through sickness. And this sickness was severe. And without a doubt it brought stress and anguish and worry to the sisters Mary and Martha. I want to consider the mystery of his sickness. Now we're not told what Lazarus was suffering from. No doubt if Luke had a record of the events that took place in this home in Bethany, Dr. Luke would have told us what Lazarus was suffering from. He would have given us the details, but John doesn't mention what ailed Lazarus, except that Lazarus was sick. Now the mystery with regard to the sickness of Lazarus surrounds those words. He whom thou lovest is sick. Some might say, why? Why then did the Lord not keep the sickness from Lazarus' door? If the Lord Jesus loved Lazarus, why did the Lord allow him to be sick? Has that not been said? Why does the Lord allow those whom he loves to be overtaken by sickness? No doubt Mary, if she could, would have thrown a shield around Lazarus and kept the disease from him. Of course, she was not able to do that. No doubt Martha would have helped Mary in this cause. They didn't like to see their brother sick. They would have done all that they could to keep him from being sick, just like you and I. We do what we can to keep our loved ones from falling sick. And when they are sick, we do all we can to help them, to aid the healing process. Yet now we find Lazarus laid low. He's helpless on a sickbed.
And how is it that the omnipotent Savior, who has such a control over the laws of nature, how is it the omnipotent Savior did not protect the man that he loved from falling sick? Yes, it is a mystery indeed. It's a mystery that we cannot answer. We have no answer for. We may be unable to discern God's purposes in our sicknesses. But one thing we will always be able to discern will be His love. He whom thou lovest is sick. And dear child of God, when we are sick and we are laid low and we're helpless like Lazarus, it is a great source of comfort to know that Jesus loves us. To know that He loves us in our time of sickness. And we are told in that verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And to know that the Lord loves us in our time of sickness is a great comfort. Because if He loves us, He cares for us. But then we notice also not only the mystery surrounding His sickness, but the message about His sickness. As soon as Lazarus was overcome with the sickness, we're told that his two sisters sent word to the Savior, saying in verse 3, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. He may have been sick and helpless. His body may have been wrecked by some mysterious disease, but he had two sisters who interceded on his behalf. He had two sisters who prayed for him because they sent to the Lord with the words, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And anyone who has been laid aside, and anyone who has been overcome by severe sickness or maybe by some mysterious sickness, and they feel their helplessness, just to know that their friends and their family are praying for them is again a great source of comfort. We read of another home where sickness had entered and prayer was offered to the Lord. In Mark chapter 1, we read there of the Lord Jesus visiting a home and visiting a sick bed. In Mark 1 and verse 29, and forthwith when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. They tell the Lord all about her. Anon means immediately. And they immediately tell him of her. They're interceding on the behalf of Peter's mother-in-law. They're praying for her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto them. Their prayers were answered. Indeed, we are exhorted in God's word to pray for each other when we are sick. The epistle of James We read there in chapter 5 and verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray one for another that you may be healed. We are exhorted to pray for our sick brothers and sisters. And dear Christian, this evening, when you're laid aside on the bed of sickness, and you're taken out of circulation, as it were, and you're taken out of the Lord's work, I can tell you this, that bed of sickness can be a very lonely place indeed. You're used to being busy for the Lord. You're used to being out and about and doing the work of God. But when you're put on your back, and you're not meeting with as many people as you usually do in the service of the Lord, that bed of sickness can be a bed of solitude and loneliness. But then you get a phone call, or you get a letter from a brother or a sister, and they say, "We have heard you have been sick. I want you to know we're praying for you." That's a great source of comfort, because then you know you're not alone. And to receive that word from a dear saint, and to know that somebody somewhere is praying for you, you suddenly realize you're not alone. That there are others who are with you in prayer. Lazarus may have lived very much in the background, there in that home in Bethany. But one thing he was assured of. He was assured of the prayers of his sisters. And dear Christian, tonight, when our friends and the members of our family are laid aside, let us not fail them, but let us pray for them, for they're depending upon our prayers. A brother said to me at the door this morning, mentioned that very thing. He says it is a great comfort when you are sick to know that others are praying for you. I said, "Brother, that's the very thing I'll be preaching on tonight." And anyone who has been overtaken by severe sickness, it's good to know that there's somebody somewhere praying. Next, regarding this great trouble which Lazarus experienced, we consider the meaning of his sickness. We said, why did the Lord allow it to happen? Why did the Lord allow Lazarus to be laid low? Indeed, why did the Lord allow Lazarus to die? His two sisters couldn't understand it. They said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died." In other words, why, Lord, didn't you come when we called you and sent for you? If you'd have come, our brother would not have died. But unknown to them, there was a reason for Lazarus' sickness. Chapter 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. This sickness is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It's hard to believe, isn't it? When someone is sick, when a dear brother or sister is laid low, that sickness can be for the glory of God, that the Lord Jesus might be glorified. It's hard to understand that. And when you're lying in that bed and you're wrecked with pain and you're sick, you wonder if you're ever going to get better. I tell you, it's hard to accept. This sickness is for the glory of God. But when we are sick, that's how we are to consider it. That's how we are to look upon it. Sickness of Lazarus was for the glory of God. How was God glorified? Look at verse 45. Then many of the Jews, that is chapter 11, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. What would have happened if Lazarus had not fallen sick and eventually died and then was raised from the dead? We wouldn't be reading those words. We wouldn't be reading those words. Then many of the Jews believed on him. It was because of the sickness of Lazarus that the Jews believed on him. And here we see the sickness of Lazarus was for the glory of God. For when souls are saved, when men and women believe in Christ, God is glorified. Christ is glorified. And it's not the first time that sickness has brought about the salvation of souls. Think of her sister Hinton. You recall the day she came to this church with her husband and family. You recall the day that she and the husband and family got saved. What was it brought her here? What was it that brought about her salvation and that of her family? It was the fact that she had been diagnosed as having leukemia. She was sick. And she said, she told us that the Lord allowed that sickness to come upon her, allowed her to have leukemia that he might get her attention. That was her own words. And you recall how Mr. Hamilton came and preached that Sabbath. And in his introduction, he spoke about the Lord putting us on our back that we might look up. See? The Lord will at times allow sickness to come upon us that souls might be saved. And the fact that souls got saved through the sickness of Lazarus tells us that the Lord allowed this to happen because there were Jews there that needed to be spoken to and saved by the grace of God. So when we are sick, let us remember these words and let us pray. Maybe you haven't had a severe sickness. You haven't experienced that. But when it happens, just pray. Lord, have this sickness to be to the glory and honor of thy name. And may out of this sickness that I am experiencing, may souls be saved. That's how it was with Lazarus. Lazarus in his great trouble. But then you have Lazarus in the great triumph. After the Savior was told about his friend Lazarus being sick, verse 6 we're told, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Following the 2 days stay there, the Lord then said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Verse 7. That's of chapter 11. Here we have then the Lord's path. Let us go into Judea again. There's the Lord's path. He's going to meet with his sisters. He's going to deal with Lazarus. He's going to answer prayer for Mary and Martha. Oh, not in the way that they expect of him to answer prayer, but nevertheless, he's going to answer prayer. And sometimes the Lord answers prayer for us in the way that we least expect. Here's the Lord's path. Said the Lord said he was going into Judea. And the disciples try to dissuade him from going. Verse 8, his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? But the Lord was going. In spite of the danger, in spite of the threat of stoning, the Lord was going there, for he was going to answer the prayers of his Martha and Mary. He was going to deal with Lazarus in response to their prayers. Didn't matter about the danger. For here was evidence that the Lord indeed loved Martha and loved Mary and loved Lazarus. He was going into that area where there's a possibility of him being stoned, but he was going anyway. That he might come to the aid of Lazarus and bring glory and honor to his heavenly Father. Does this not remind us this evening of our Savior's love for us? That he was prepared to go through whatever it took, whatever faced him, to heal our sin-sick souls and to deliver us from the wages of sin, which was death. The path the Savior took to come to our aid was a path that no one else was prepared to take. It was a path that no one else could take, because only Christ could raise the dead. And only Christ could raise our dead souls from the grave of sin. And to do that, the Savior must take and walk a certain path. A path, no, not where he would be stoned to death, but where he would be crucified. Paul said in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who could cure the sickness of the soul? None but Jesus. Who could cure us of the fever of sin? None but Jesus. Who could make our sin-sick souls whole and give us hope? Praise His name. None but Jesus. Who could put down death and give us eternal life? None but Jesus. And in order to do that, He was prepared to walk that path. That path of shame. That path of spitting. That path of suffering. That path of solitude. He was prepared to walk that path that we might be healed of the disease of sin. Praise the Lord. After the Lord's path, we notice here the Lord's perception. When the disciples wondered why the Lord was going, simply to awaken Lazarus, for that's what the Lord told them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. They wondered why He would go that way and put Himself in such danger just simply to awaken Lazarus out of his sleep. But then the Lord said to them in verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. How did He know? When the daughter of Jairus died, a messenger came to Lazarus, to Jairus, when he was speaking with the Lord Jesus. And the messenger came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master? The messenger came with the news, the bad news, the sad news, that his 12-year-old daughter was dead. Now really, the messenger hadn't come to inform the Lord Jairus' daughter was dead. The messenger came really to inform Jairus, because the Lord already knew. The Lord knew that Lazarus was dead. But we don't read of any messenger coming. We don't read of anyone coming and telling him that Lazarus had already passed away. The Savior already knew. Lazarus, he said, is dead. And you ever consider those words? It reminds us that not one of the Lord's children is overcome by death without Christ knowing. He knows exactly when and at what hour, what moment one of His children passes from this scene of time into His presence. In Matthew chapter 10, we read there of the Lord's perception. We mentioned this morning that our God is the only wise God. And here we read about His wisdom. We read in Matthew 10 and verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Not even one sparrow. The Lord knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. The Lord goes on to say, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now if the Lord knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, and we are of more value than many sparrows, Christ knows exactly when one of his saints, wherever it may be, is taken home. His eye is upon God's people. And they're going out and coming in, they're dying, sitting, and they're uprising. He knows the hour, the very moment, the last breath leaves their body. And that's comforting to know. Then you have the Lord's power. It is at the tomb of Lazarus that we witness the mighty power of God. Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was allowed to die. He's been in the grave now 4 days. And we read then in verse 43 of John 11. Then, and when he thus had spoken, that is, he just prayed to his heavenly Father, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. There is the power of God. There is the power of his word. And dear Christian, tonight I believe with all of my heart the power of the word of God is still the same. There's still power in the word of God to raise Lazarus from the grave of sin. That's the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And Christ's word had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. You know, that's what we should be praying for. We dealt with prayer this morning. We should be praying that God would raise Lazarus from the dead in this town. For there are men and women, and they're buried in their sin. They're in the sepulchre of sin. And there's no hope for them. We need to pray that God will raise them from the dead. Raise them from their spiritual death. And raise them to new life in Christ Jesus. Power still the same. And here's the Savior. And he stands outside the tomb of Lazarus. And Lazarus was raised to life. Every time the Lord Jesus came face to face with death, the Lord Jesus was victorious and triumphant. He stood there at the deathbed of Jairus' daughter, raised her up to life. He came face to face with a funeral procession coming out of the city of Nain. A widow woman was following the coffin of her only son. Jesus raised her only son to life. Now he's at a grave. From a deathbed to the coffin to the grave. Didn't matter. Wherever Christ came face to face with death, he raised the dead to life. Hallelujah. And as I've said before, that's the reason why at Calvary the Lord Jesus died first. He had to die first because the two malefactors could not die in the presence of the living Christ. And you recall it was the Lord who gave up the ghost. He chose the time to give up the ghost. And it was only after Christ died that the malefactors were able to die. We have a wonderful Savior. And Christ has conquered death. He had power to lay down his life and power to take it up again. He has conquered death. What did the angel say at the sepulchre in resurrection morning? Come, see the place where he lay. He is not here. The tomb is empty because Christ has conquered death. And praise God, he has conquered death for you and me. He's conquered death for all those who believe in him. And we can say this evening, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For death is swallowed up in victory. What a great triumph. Lazarus experienced. He experienced the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. And that leads us finally to consider Lazarus and his great testimony. Lazarus did not say much, but he had a great testimony. His life spoke for him. Notice his company. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead. See how the Lord changed things in Bethany. Bethany was known as the town of Mary and Martha. Now it's known as the place where Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Wherever God does a mighty work, that place is remembered for what Christ has done. We remember today the villages of Kells and Connor, because that's where revival started. There in Ulster, 150 years ago. We remember those two little villages because of what Christ did there. Now Bethany is remembered because of what Christ did there in raising Lazarus from the dead. And we read then in verse 2, there they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. There's his company. You'll always know a man by the company that he keeps. And Lazarus was a man who kept good company. He enjoyed the company of the saints and the company of the Savior. And the one who has been raised to new life in Christ Jesus will always enjoy the company of God's people. Will always be looking for the company of God's people. You recall the man who had sat at the gate beautiful, and Peter and John passed by, and he was raised up from his lameness by the power of Christ. And what did he do? The first thing he did was to go with Peter and John to the place of worship. That's a sign that new life had begun in that man. Acts 3 and verse 8. When Saul of Tarsus was saved, and he had his eyes opened, first thing he did, Acts 9, verses 19 and 20, was to join himself to the disciples of the Lord. See? When you know Christ, and Christ is your Savior, you've been raised to newness of life in Him, you want to be in the company of God's people. This company, and then you have the curious. We're told in chapter 12 and verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Many of the Jews came to see the man whom Christ had raised from the dead. Notice, it was what Christ had done for Lazarus that drew the people to see him. It was what Christ had done for Lazarus that brought the people. They wanted to see the man whom Christ had raised up. That's the mark of a great testimony. When people are drawn to us because of what Christ has done in us and through us. And then you have his converts. Verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, that is of Lazarus, by reason of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. There's his converts. And yet there's not one word recorded that he ever spoke. How do I explain this? His life spoke. He had a good testimony. And through the life of Lazarus, many believed on Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something. It says there in that verse 11, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. They went away and believed on Jesus. In other words, Lazarus did not see the fruit of his life for Christ. They went away and believed. It's good when we have the opportunity of leading sinners to Christ. But there will be those who will go away and believe and will not know until we get to heaven. And they'll tell us in heaven that they were saved through our life and our testimony. Oh, may we have a testimony like Lazarus. May people see Christ in us and see what Christ has done for us. And may that convince them of their need of Christ. And may we have many converts. May there be many stars in our crown. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we do bless Thee for this man, Lazarus. We know so little about him. And yet now we feel we know him really well. We know, our God, that he was used by Thee. This humble, hidden man was used, Lord, by Thee to bring many to glory. O Lord, make us all winners of souls. May our lives so tell for the Lord Jesus that others, Lord, will seek the Lord that we know and believe on him. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts this evening.
Encourage us to live for Thee, that our lives might tell for Thee. Be with us, dear Lord, as we part the one from the other. Take us, Lord, to our homes in safety tonight. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.